mental connection with any of my people, and that quick brush felt like coming home. Longing flares through me. I have been lost without other Draconi minds to connect to, and the ones I have touched have been as crazed as my own. A desperate sort of homesickness washes over me, and I get to my feet, as if that can somehow bring the mind that brushed against mine back into reach.
Vaughn?
Gwen's voice is quiet. I want to reassure her that I am fine, but when I try to touch my mind to hers, there is no answer. Of course not. I always forget she has not yet taken my fires. Automatically, I reach out to that other mind that brushed against my own, seeking another of my kind. Brother, are you there? Sister? Something touches my mind back. The moment it does, I know I've made a mistake. I recognize this touch and the evil it contains. Solorian evil.
33. Gwen. Petey stayed in the damn cage. I pet his small brown head, frustrated at his contented cooing. Doesn't he know I can't afford to keep him here? I'd be better off attaching a note to his leg and sending him off like he's been trained to do. Except he was never particularly good at that either. What am I going to do with you? I tell the bird, exasperated. My dragon thinks you're a snack, and at some point, you might be. He sure didn't like this morning's oatmeal, and he's going to want to eat at some point, you know. I'm smiling even as I say it. Vaughn did great this morning at breakfast. Even though he didn't eat and he stared at the people around him like they were walking, talking piles of garbage, he kept his cool. He didn't go mental on anyone and seemed to be mostly in his right mind as long as he kept a hand on me. Eventually, it got to be too much for him. But I'm pleased and proud of how he handled things. Amy made it sound like dragons only responded to sex, but Vaughn seems less crazy than most. Sure, he tends to get lost in his own thoughts and I have to remind him who I am, but overall, he's... A sharp intake of breath distracts me from my thoughts. I look up from Petey over to Vaughn. He's gotten to his feet in my makeshift dovecoat, his eyes locked on the ceiling. You okay? I ask quietly, because his stiff body language seems odd to me. Even when he's in the throes of madness, there's a strange kind of grace to him. Right now, there's none of that. He's as upright as a poker, his gaze fixed on the ceiling. Vaughn? I hastily release Petey into the cage once more, and then rush to the dragon man's side. Something's wrong. I know it is. His head turns slowly, eerily, and he gazes out the window. For some reason, his eyes aren't their usual black or gold or even a swirl in between. They're an awful, sickly gray that I've never seen before. The sight of those ash-gray eyes sends a chill through me. Vaughn? I grab his hand and place it on my cheek. Hey, look at me. It's Gwen, remember? I might as well not be there. Vaughn stares blankly ahead, gazing out the window. He doesn't see me. He doesn't see anything. I'm not even sure he sees the window. His body doesn't move. And then, a split second later, he's climbing out the window, the makeshift towel toga I wrapped around his hips this morning entirely forgotten. Fabric tears, the pin holding it to his taut hips bent, and the entire thing catches on the metal shutters, falling to the ground. Naked, he moves out into the courtyard like a zombie. Terror shoots through me. This isn't him. If he shifts into dragon form and disappears, I don't know if I'll ever see him again. 34. Gwen. I climb out the window after Vaughn, my terrified heart thudding in my chest. Up ahead of me, my big golden dragon man takes careful step after careful step, moving ahead as if he's one of those wind-up toys and someone's cranked him. There's no response to me calling his name. And as he moves through the courtyard of the fort, he tramples plants and steps over paths heading in a steady direction. Heading out of the fort. I fling my arms around his neck and latch on, wrapping my legs around his hips. He can't leave. If he shifts, I have to stay with him. Fear shakes down to the core of me, and as I look over, I see someone run out of the school doors gazing at the two of us in surprise. It's Luce, her baby in her arms. "Help me!" I scream, clutching at his shoulders tighter. "Help me stop him! He can't fly away!" She turns around and goes inside, and I want to yell in frustration, but she's got a baby to think of. I shift my grip on Vaughn's neck, holding on as best I can. "Please don't go, Vaughn. Stay with me," I whisper, pressing my forehead against the back of his skull. "Gwen?" I turn my head just in time to see Andrea racing out of the school, her shotgun in hand. Luce hovers near the door and then disappears inside. "Thank you, Luce," I mentally rejoice. Not a coward, just cautious. Liam's on Andrea's heels, but he pulls her back before she can get close. "Help me!" I call again. "Something's wrong with him!"
"Solorians,"
Liam says and steps in front of Andrea to protect her, tucking her behind him.
"Look at his eyes. He's beyond helping, Gwen."
"No!" Panicked, I drop to the ground because Vaughn's not stopping. He's heading for the gate where a confused Gemma's guarding it. I move in front of my dragon man and press my hands to his chest. "Stop! Vaughn! I'm right here. Remember me? Gwen?"
"He can't hear you,"
Liam calls out.
"That's not him anymore. Back away, Gwen."
I won't. I refuse. This is my Vaughn. I know he has to be in there. "Please, please talk to me," I beg him, walking backward in front of him because he keeps moving ahead. "Vaughn!" He pauses. His awful gray eyes blink once, slowly.
"Fort Dallas,"
he whispers in a voice so low that I don't believe my ears for a moment. Goosebumps prickle over my skin. And then he starts walking again. "No!" I won't give up on him. I won't. There has to be a way to bring him back to me. Haven't I always settled him before? Brought his thoughts back when he was drifting? "It's me, Gwen," I tell him over and over again. "Gwen, Gwen, you're Gwen, remember?" "Gwen, please," Andrea calls. "Come back. Just let him go." I can't. The panic overwhelms me, and I do the only thing I can possibly think of. I fling myself against the front of his chest, wrap my arms around his neck, and kiss him. He immediately goes still. Encouraged, I put everything I am into the kiss. I nibble at his lower lip, flick at his mouth with my tongue, and when his lips part, I take that as a sign I should continue. And then I'm making love to his mouth with all the passion and intensity I can pour into the kiss. Over and over I kiss him, slicking my tongue into his mouth and hoping for a response of some kind. "Please," I whisper between kisses. "Vaughn, please." His mouth moves, ever so slightly. Then it's like his entire body unfreezes. His hands go to my head, cupping me against him as he leans in and thrusts deep into my mouth with his tongue, taking the kiss to the next level. With a happy little moan, I cling to him, participating in the kiss while letting him lead. I tease at his tongue, my hands caressing his chest, and we kiss for so long and so hard that I see stars at the edges of my vision. Eventually, I break the kiss because I have to or go unconscious. I look up at him, gasping, and see that his eyes have flooded back to a beautiful, intense gold.
"Gwen,"
he murmurs, touching my cheeks. I choke back a sob, hugging him close. "Vaughn, it's you."
"Move away from him, Gwen,"
Liam calls out, still protecting Andrea. "It's okay." I touch Vaughn's cheek and steady his eyes once more just to be sure that I'm seeing him correctly. "He's himself again." Vaughn rumbles low in his chest, wiping away the tears that spill down my cheeks. He strokes my hair, a concerned look on his face. I just smile and press a kiss to his palm. I don't even care that he's naked and we're making out in the courtyard in front of everyone. I nearly lost him just now. I don't know what it was, but I know in my gut that if he flew away, I'd never see him again.
"You sure?"
Liam asks, and this time his voice is much closer. I glance over and he and Andrea have approached, my friend still holding her shotgun at the ready. They both look worried, but when Liam sees Vaughn's eyes, he relaxes.
That was a close call.
What happened? I ask, because I still don't understand it. It's like he wasn't there.
Silurians,
Liam says grimly. I don't know what that is.
Our old masters. A Draconi that has been captured by their mind web in the past is vulnerable to being taken over once more. One of them must have called to him and tried to get him to leave here.
Liam shakes his head, troubled.
I had hoped they were all dead in the chaos. I should have known at least one would survive.
What does he want? I slide my arms around Vaughn's waist, holding him tight against me. I don't want to let him go, ever.
What does any power-mad sort want? He wants control. Maybe he needs more slaves and is calling who he can to him. It's just another reason why I've cut off that part of my life entirely.
Liam crosses his arms over his chest and kicks a rock with one boot, but it's evident he's not nearly as relaxed as he's pretending.
For as long as there have been Draconi clans in the desert back home, there have been Silurians who thought it was their right to come and take them as slaves.
He studies me for a moment.
It's encouraging to see you were able to bring him back, though. That's new.
Is it because they made it? Andrea asks, and her cheeks are bright red.
I don't smell a scent in her, but the bond must still be strong.
He looks concerned.
It might not be strong enough, though. Who knows what will happen next time?
There can't be a next time. I tell them panicked. Can there?
Who can say?
Amy never said Rast had issues, Andy adds, puzzled. She puts her shotgun on her shoulder and her hand on her hip. I don't get it.
Rast has Amy to anchor him,
Liam says.
She can bring him back from the brink if he gets attacked.
Is that why you went to bond with him, Gwen? To bond with Vaughn? That's why you said you'd leave, so you can save all of us in the fort. Andrea gives me a piercing look. Her words shame me, and I hold tighter to Vaughn. I thought hitching his wagon to mine would be a complete and utter death sentence for him, and it turns out that it's what I should have done all along. Yet again, I've made stupid choices. I had my reasons, I say in a small voice. It's not that easy.
It is exactly that easy,
Andrea exclaims. Her eyes are wide, and she gives me an incredulous little shake of her head. I thought that was the goal the whole time. Well, of course it is, but it's complicated.
Only if you make it complicated. It's clear to me that you love him and he loves you.
She seems exasperated.
I don't get why you wouldn't want to be his at every single level.
Liam looks over at her for a long, long moment, and I can practically sense the longing in him. It sounds like Andy's speaking from experience, but I don't think she's exactly bonded with Liam if he's got his brain shut down. It doesn't make sense to me. Right now, they're not my concern, though. There are a lot of factors, I tell Andrea. But it sounds as lame in the air as it does in my head. There are a lot of factors, but most of them are my fears. How can I tie Vaughn's life to mine? How can anyone trust me after what happened to my own sister? Vaughn can do better than me. There are prettier, stronger women. But as he holds me close and buries his face in my hair, my heart hurts. I don't want him to find someone prettier or stronger. He wants me, I want him. What am I waiting for?
So, I'm no prude, but maybe we should go inside. Your man's dingle is dangling and the kids are staring.
Andy tugs on her braid, a nervous gesture. She looks acutely uncomfortable and pretends to check her shotgun.
Maybe we take this party inside?
Liam seems amused by her reaction.
Humans. So flustered at the sight of a naked body. Why would a shapeshifter wear clothing? It's not reasonable.
But he slides something into a holster in his belt, and I realize it's a gun. Was that for me or for Vaughn? Either way, it sends a chill down my spine. Guns don't work on dragons. But maybe the rules are different for a dragon in human form. Andrea's right, though. I look around and everyone in the fort is peering out windows or standing in a doorway staring at us. They don't know what to make of Vaughn, and this isn't helping. You're right, I say softly. Let's go inside. The moment we enter through the school doors, my sister Daniela comes running, her eyes shining with tears. She doesn't even look at Vaughn, just races to my side and flings her arms around my neck. Mara said you were leaving with him again. A sob catches in her throat. Don't go, Gwen. Please. I'm shocked. For days, Daniela's been spitting anger and hatred at me. I know she blames me for her kidnapping and the hideous scars on her face. I know bad things happened to her while she was with the Nomads. I know she's wounded and hurting, and I've been with Vaughn. The guilt I feel nearly overwhelms me, and fresh tears flow down my face. I'm not going anywhere, Dee. I promise. Vaughn growls and moves to my side, his hands going to my waist. I can feel the possessiveness rolling off of him in sheets, and I worry that he's going to go gray-eyed again and disappear on me. I don't want that, and I reach out for him with my hand only for Daniela to cry harder and hold on tighter. I don't know what to do. It's like I'm being torn between both the people I love. My sister needs me, but Vaughn's so vulnerable right now. I don't know how to choose, and for a brief moment I feel like screaming. Hey, Dee, says a familiar voice. Your sister's not leaving. I was wrong. But her boyfriend's kind of messed up at the moment and he needs her. Why don't we all go sit down somewhere quiet and talk things out, okay? Mara puts a comforting arm around Daniela's shoulders. Sound good? My sister lets herself be pulled out of my grip, and she swipes at her eyes. Right, sure. She casts a wary look at Vaughn and then gives me another impulsive hug. I'm sorry I've been such a bitch. You haven't, I protest, shocked. Dee, you've been through such a hard time, I would never... I would, Mara says dryly. Dee's been a bitch, and you've had your head up your ass, she says to me, steering my sister away. And your dragon's crazy. Your blonde friend wants to play hide the sausage with the other dragon, and he's just weird. I think we're all caught up now, so where can we go that's quiet? There's a lot of people staring at us. She offers me a chipper smile that seems crazy white in her dirty face. Library? Storage? Our room, Daniela says, and doesn't seem fazed by Mara's blunt language. She reaches a hand out to me, and for the first time since her kidnapping, she looks vulnerable instead of bitter and angry. I hurt for her so much. But my loyalties are torn. I look at Vaughn and hope my sister doesn't feel like I'm choosing him over her. It's just... it's a different kind of choosing entirely. I can love my sister and love Vaughn, and I hope they both realize that. No one wants to play hide the sausage, Andy declares suddenly behind me, her face beet red. Jesus. Daniela snort giggles, and it's the first laugh I've heard her make since she returned, scarred and broken. My own laugh bubbles up, and it turns into a sob. A warm hand clasps the back of my neck, and Vaughn pulls me against him. Come on, I have a feeling we need some family therapy before this all gets settled, Mara says, and links her arm with Daniela's. Liam glances over at Andy, who lifts her chin and follows behind Mara and Dee. After a moment, he falls into step, and then it's just me and Vaughn. Well, me and Vaughn, and a dozen nosy Fort Shreveporters who are probably dying to know what the hell's going on. I smile at everyone, wiping the tears from my eyes. Relax, everyone. It's all right, I promise. I hope I'm not lying. Everyone sit, Mara says as we enter the room I've shared with Andrea and my sister for the last few years. She makes herself at home, pulling up a metal folding chair and sitting in the corner. Daniela goes to her bed and sits cross-legged, her fingers brushing against the scars on her cheeks. Andrea drops down on her own bed and Liam sits on the floor beside her. They aren't touching, but it's close, and I wonder what happened between them while I was gone to make the sparks fly. Vaughn moves to my bed as if it's his own, never letting go of my hand. He pulls me down with him and then sprawls in careless masculine beauty on top of the covers. And I find myself artfully nudging a bit of blanket over his loins as I settle in next to him.
Okay, good.
Mara clasps her hands in front of her.
Let's have ourselves a little therapy session, shall we? Because I feel communication has been breaking down between all of you, and in order for this family to function, we need to make sure that we are all honest with our emotions. Got it?
She looks at Andy, then Daniela, then me.
Who wants to start?
I'll start, Andy says and scowls at Mara. Who died and put you in charge?
No one. I'm just an impartial observer.
Mara doesn't seem ruffled by Andy's attitude.
And since you're beginning with an attack, we're going to skip you.
She turns toward Daniela, ignoring Andrea's miffed sound of annoyance.
Why don't you start first, Dee?
Her voice is surprisingly gentle, and she smiles at my sister.
You and I have chatted a little. Tell your sister how you're feeling.
Abandoned?
My sister chokes out. It feels like a dagger twisting in my heart.
I never meant to leave you, Dee.
Tears run down her face, making the awful, awful scars on her cheeks shine. She's still lovely, despite everything, and it hurts me because I wanted so much more for her.
You might not have meant it, but you still left, Gwen. You left when I needed you. I know I pushed you away, I know I was a bitch, but I needed to know you were here for me, even if I wasn't ready to reach out.
Everything she says is the truth, and it hurts.
I'm so sorry. I didn't know what to do except to tackle problems. I didn't know how to fix you, but I knew how to fix the dragon outside the city, so I went to him.
He didn't need you,
Daniela exclaims. Not need me. No one needs me more than Vaughn. Dee is hurting and lost right now, but she has an entire fort to help support her. Andy will be a shoulder to lean on, Cass, Luce, Gemma, and any of the other girls will do whatever she needs. Heck, even Mara, who didn't know anyone but me before yesterday, has formed a friendship with my lovely, broken sister. It's evident in the way that Mara reaches over and squeezes Daniela's shoulder. My sister's always been good at making friends.
You're wrong,
I say in the gentlest tone I can. Vaughn needs me. So, so much. I look over at my dragon.
Kiss me,
he rumbles, his hand going to my hair. I blush at his timing. Not now, I whisper.
I tell you two to get a room, but we're already in it, Mara says dryly.
Andy clears her throat. Why not now? When I look over at her in confusion, she gestures to Vaughn, lounging next to me on my bed. You told him not now. Why not now? Why do you keep putting him off when I thought the whole goal was for you to bond with him? To tame him and bring him over to our side? Wasn't that the point? Her impatience irritates me. I know she means well, and I know Andy would never intentionally hurt my feelings. But sometimes her bull in a china shop method of dealing with things doesn't work.
You think all I have to do is lie back and spread my legs, but it's just not that simple.
Why not? She asks, lifting her chin. I'm pretty sure that's exactly how it works, so why not, Gwen?
Because I don't want to ruin his life like I did Daniela's.
I snap out before I can think about it. Dee gasps. The room goes utterly silent. Vaughn's claws gently massage my scalp and he holds me closer, as if sensing I need comfort. I can't look anyone in the eye. I shouldn't have said anything. I rub my brow, frustrated at my own words.
You think you ruined my life?
My sister's voice is small. I look over at her, and I know I'm going to start crying again. Shit. I blink rapidly, doing my best to fight back more stupid tears, because they don't solve anything, and all they do is make it difficult to speak coherently.
We both know I did, Dee. I was the one that let the Brothers of Hesh into the fort. I didn't act fast enough to stop them, and I didn't get a rescue to you fast enough. It's my poor leadership that got you into this mess, so yes, it is my fault. It's all my fault. I didn't protect you like I should have.
Oh, Gwen, Andy murmurs, shaking her head. Daniela looks shocked at my words. Her eyes soften,
and a faint, tremulous smile curves her mouth even as she draws her knees up against her chest and hugs them. You're all wrong, Gwen. All wrong. I love you, sis. I'm not mad at you. I'm angry and I'm hurting, but I've never been mad at you. I know you tried. Heck, everyone here has told me all about how hard you tried to save me while making sure everyone at the fort wasn't in danger. I know you had to juggle saving your sister versus saving people here at the fort. If it was me, I'd have probably made the same decisions, no matter how difficult. No one's ever envied you being in charge. We know it's a thankless task. She shakes her head. I know I haven't been the same as I was. I know I've been angry, but it's not at you. I'm mad at the bastards that hurt me and treated me like I was just another toy to be broken. She touches the fresh scars on her cheeks and then looks at me. But I've never been mad at you. If it seemed like I was lashing out, I'm sorry. Oh my God, don't apologize, I exclaim, moving forward on the bed to sit on the edge. I want to go and hug the sadness and hurt out of her eyes, but I don't dare leave Vaughn's side. Never apologize, Dee. I know you're hurting. I should have reached out to you more, I just didn't know how. You've had your own problems to worry about, my sister says, looking over at Vaughn. But they shouldn't take away from yours. Mara cuts in with a wave of her hand. Okay, great. Everyone's sorry that they had their heads inserted in their rectums. I think we've established that. You love your sister, she says, pointing at Daniela. Then she points at me. And you love your sister. Fantastic. Let's move on. She gives me a piercing look, her eyes bright in the mask of dirt she wears. What are your plans now, Gwen? Plans? I'm still reeling from my sister's confession. Despite all her bitterness, she's never blamed me. I feel like a load has been lifted off my shoulders. I wasn't there for her when she needed me most, and she still loves me. I want to hug her to my chest and stroke her hair like Vaughn's stroking mine right now. And I'm a little irked at Mara's brusque change of topics. What plans? You and the dragon. Do I need to accompany this with hand gestures? She makes a circle with her fingers and pierces it with another in a remarkably crude gesture I've only seen Andy's brother Benny do when he's among his other friends. My face gets really hot, and I'm acutely aware of Vaughn's nakedness and the subtle tension in his body. Because he's smart. I'm pretty sure he figured out Mara's gesture and what she's asking as she looks at me. I don't know. Andrea makes an exasperated sound, smacking her forehead with her palm. Here we go again. Why don't you know, Gwen? Because it's not simple, I say automatically. Why isn't it simple? Her brows furrow together as she looks from me to Vaughn, to me again. He loves you, you love him. I can't speak. No words rise to mind. Anything I want to say immediately lodges in my throat. It should be simple. It should be, but it doesn't feel simple. Is it because he's a dragon? Mara asks. Because he's crazy? He's not crazy, I retort. You just don't understand him. There's nothing wrong with him. So the problem's with you. I stare at her in surprise. It feels too much like the truth, and it hurts. It feels like a knife wound, and everyone's prying at it in an attempt to heal, but all it's doing is making the pain worse. I don't want to ruin his life.
Seems to me like he's pretty eager to have it ruined,
Liam says, speaking up for the first time. Andy throws her hands up in the air at my words. Let me guess, because you ruined everyone's lives here, right? Before I can agree, she gestures at Dee. Like you ruined hers. Heck, you probably ruined Mara's too, right? She did have her dragon kill my protector. Mara chimes in, all sweetness. I begin. You haven't ruined anything, Andrea continues, fired up in my defense. She puts her feet back on the ground and leans forward, her expression intense. You organized those of us that wanted to leave Fort Tulsa behind. You kept us all together when we left that place and made sure we were armed and safe. When people got scared, you held their hands and told them it would be all right.
You were the first one to think we could make a fort of our own, and you've welcomed everyone here with open arms.
And look where that got us,
I tell her bitterly. I let in the Brothers of Ash. I even let in a dragon. Two dragons, I say, gesturing at Liam. That doesn't seem like I'm a very good leader.
No one could have done better than you, Gwen. No one. The only reason why Amy's stepping up as leader is because you don't want it.
Andrea gives me a firm look. Everyone here would still follow you no matter where you went. We trust you and we love you.
We know that even when things get bad, you're doing your best to make them better, Daniela adds. You always have.
Tears flood my eyes and the knot in my throat is so thick I can't speak.
So again, Andy says. Why haven't you mated him?
I lick my lips and the words that come out are the softest of whispers.
I don't feel worthy.
Oh, Gwen, Dee says softly, and I'm ashamed at the sympathy in her voice. No one deserves love more than you. No one blames you for anything, I promise.
You're just punishing yourself, Andy agrees. You're still my big sis.
And my real sis,
Daniela chimes in. Their loving support makes my heart warm. I don't deserve such wonderful friends. I sniff and swipe at my eyes because I'm pathetic.
He was supposed to be yours,
I tell Andrea. She snorts. He was never mine. He was always coming for you. I just didn't realize it. Liam looks over at Andrea, and I see a flash of dark jealousy flare black in his golden eyes. But it quickly fades and he assumes his neutral expression once more as he glances over at me.
If you think you're unworthy, you can atone by saving that dragon next to you from the Silurians trying to steal his mind.
Don't wait any longer, Andy agrees. He needs you, and I think you need him. It feels weird to have an entire group of people encouraging me to have sex. Weirder still, I know they're right. I've been stalling out of my own sense of guilt and shame over what's happened at the fort and to my sister, and I allowed that to put Vaughn in danger. I love him, and my hesitation's hurting him. I won't wait. Tonight, I promise. What's wrong with right now? Mara tilts her head and regards me. I've been around you two for a while. I know there's not an issue with attraction. Andrea giggles. My sister does, too. Jeez, way to front me out. Still, I can't be mad, not when my sister's smiling and looks happier than she's been in a long time. I should thank Mara for this hokey family therapy session. It seems like we're getting all of the pent-up frustration out in the air, and this can only mean good things. It's daylight, I tell them. We just had breakfast.
Well, if you get a leg cramp, just remember to go slow. That's what my swim coach always told me.
Hardy har, I mutter. Just do it, Andy says, getting to her feet. It's never too early for good toe-curling sex. We can leave and tell everyone not to bother you guys for a while.
I'm not going to blush, I'm not going to blush, I'm not going to blush.
I look over at Vaughn, whose eyes are whirling a contented gold, as if he can sense what I'm thinking. The look on his face grows speculative, and he slides his hand up and down my arm in an almost petting motion that makes my body respond.
Everyone will know what we're doing. Everyone in the fort.
It sounds like a silly protest even to me, because the longer I stare at Vaughn, the easier it seems to just crawl into bed with him and shut out the world. Mara rolls her eyes.
Everyone here's already seen his dick. It's not like he's hiding anything. Why should you?
Okay, fine. This has to be the weirdest conversation I've ever had. We'll have sex.
Right now, Andy insists.
Right now, I agree.
Then we should go, Mara says, getting to her feet as well. Her expression is pleased. Unless someone else has something they need to discuss with the group?
No one speaks. They're all grinning, though, and I can feel myself blushing. There's no reason to be embarrassed, I tell myself. Everyone has sex. I'm not a virgin. Andy's not either. My sister says she's a virgin, but the defeated look in her eyes makes me worry.
The thought makes the guilt rush through me again. Only to have Dee move to my bed and hug me, her arms around my neck. "Love you, sis," she tells me, and then gives my forehead a friendly kiss. "We'll talk more later, all right? Right now, you do what you've got to do." I squeeze her hand. "Thanks, Daniela. I love you, too." "So much love, I could just puke," Mara says cheerfully. "So when's lunch around this place?" "Come on," Dee tells Mara, detangling herself from my grip. "I'll show you who to talk to when you need to raid the communal pantry between food times." My sister casts me one last fragile smile, and then she leaves with Mara, who's still as filthy as ever and continues to wear her dirty rags as if they're armor. Liam leaves, but Andy lingers behind for a moment, a thoughtful expression on her face. "What is it?" I ask her, curious. "How do you suppose she knew to bring us all in and make us talk?" She looks curious. "What's in this for her?" I think about Mara. The Mara I met on the first day seems to be changing on a regular basis. I thought she was one of those weak, flighty things that sticks like glue to the biggest man they can find in order to keep themselves safe. But the longer I know her, the more layers are presented. She's smart and clever. I don't know if she's trustworthy, but she's definitely sharp. I don't know what her endgame is either, but right now, I'm just glad my sister has a buddy to distract her from her own problems. Maybe she's sat in on a lot of family therapy in the before and knows a lot about it. Or maybe she's smart enough to know that it benefits her if we all get along. Andy shoots me a shrewd look. "Whatever it is, it's interesting." She shrugs. "She's harmless, if smelly. Maybe I should hint that we prefer cleanliness at this fort." "She'll clean up when she feels safe," I tell her, amused. "That dirt's armor, right? At least that's what I figured." "Don't know, don't care, as long as she stays upwind." Andy turns back to me and points. "Now, you do what you need to do. Save him, save yourself, blowjobs all around, whatever. Just quit tearing yourself down thinking that you aren't worthy of love. There's no one better or more loyal than you. If I was a dragon, I'd be all over you." I laugh, because my friend is ridiculous, and I love her. "Thanks, Andrea." She winks at me, and then closes the door behind her. 35. Gwen. Finally, everyone's gone, and then it's just me and Vaughn alone in the room. I remain utterly still where I am, half waiting for someone to peek into the room and suggest something else. But it's silent, and as the minutes tick past, I realize we are alone. Really, truly alone. I take a deep, shuddering breath. I've put this off for long enough, haven't I? I look over at Vaughn, who's watching me with concerned eyes. "I hope I'm enough for you," I murmur to him. I can't shake the feeling that I'm not worthy, but I think of my sister and her reassurances, and I feel a little better. I'm loved. Even if I did screw things up, I tried. Having Dee's support means everything. Knowing that we're still family, still loved. I take a deep, stealing breath and realize that for the first time, I feel truly free to love Vaughn. That maybe I'm not the anchor that brings him down and makes his madness worse. Maybe with his love and my humanity, we can save each other. I like the sound of that. I turn to him on the bed and clasp his hand in mine. "I love you," I tell him, and I mean it. I don't know if I've said it to him before now, but the moment it's in the air, it feels right. It feels good.
"Gwen,"
he rumbles. And I suspect he's just responding to my soft tone, but it's okay. He knows what I'm feeling, even if it's not said aloud. I reach out and touch his cheek, caressing his face. Funny how he doesn't strike me as the enemy anymore. Dragons really don't. Different and wild, yes, but the enemy? Never. He's strange and feral and beautiful. And mine. He touches my face and I turn in to press a kiss to his palm. Now he's mine to touch, and no one can stop us. There's no Mara, no Dee,
and no guilt hanging over my shoulders like a shroud. Vaughn watches me curiously, hunger simmering in his eyes. But he makes no move to close the distance between us, probably because I've pushed him away and delayed so many times. I'm really yours now, I promise him. I lean forward and move my mouth toward his for a kiss. He makes a hungry sound in his throat, and his mouth slicks over mine in a fast, hard kiss. Once, twice. Then he pulls back, watching me, waiting for me to push him away. I put my hand on his stomach, admiring the contrast of our skin. He's golden and dappled, and I'm a light, creamy brown. He's all hardness and fierce strength, and I'm wiry survival. I lean in and brush my lips over his collarbone. When he goes still, I move farther down and kiss the hard line of one pectoral.
Gwen?
He asks roughly, his voice hoarse and full of need. I look up at him and smile. I'm not stopping you this time. And I put a hand boldly on his cock and caress him. He growls understanding, and then a split second later I'm on my back in the bed. Vaughn's claws go to my shirt, and with one flick of his wrist, the fabric slices apart and falls open. A moment later, and he's tearing my clothes off of my body. My shorts fall apart like butter. My bra practically disintegrates, and my panties shear apart as if they're made of paper. And then I'm exposed in front of Vaughn's suddenly covetous gaze. He growls as he gazes down at my naked body, devouring me with a look. Then his gaze flicks to mine.
Gwen,
he breathes, a ragged question. Yes, I tell him. Oh, yes. With a groan, he descends onto me. Instead of kissing like we always do, he heads straight for my breasts. His mouth descends on one, his fingers teasing the tip of the other. Utterly insatiable, his mouth is hot and hungry and frantic. I gasp at his touch, utterly shocked at the intensity of it, and utterly drenched with need at the realization of his hunger and just how badly he wants me. My body feels like it's pulsing in time with my heart, thrumming between my thighs in an ache that feels so good, even as Vaughn's mouth goes lower, licking down my belly. He laps at my navel for a brief moment before continuing downward and savagely pushing my thighs apart. Then that ravenous, hungry, wild mouth is on my pussy, going straight for my clit. His intensity explodes through my brain, the heat and passion of his touch firing my body up impossibly fast. I moan, rocking under him as the breath hisses from his throat. There's a violent edge to our touches, as if we've waited so long to do this that all the tenderness has left the room. Instead of scaring me, though, I'm excited. I want this as badly as him. And when his raspy tongue flicks against my clit in an urgent touch, I snarl his name back at him and drag my nails over his scalp, then push his head down to let him know I want him to keep going. Fuck waiting. For that matter, fuck anyone who thinks that Vaughn isn't 100% mine, or that I'm not his.
Gwen,
he growls, nuzzling at my folds before returning to his furious licking. Don't you dare stop, I tell him between panting breaths. There's an urgency between us that's sexier than any kiss, and when he snarls and lowers his head so he can move his tongue over me with faster vigor, I arch and grind my pussy against his face, needing that friction and the edge of pain. I'm so incredibly wet that his tongue slicks over my flesh with downright hedonistic sounds, and I only encourage him to go faster, harder, to give me more. I cry out in surprise when a tiny orgasm hits me, a fresh round of wetness coating my folds. Vaughn snarls my name again, and this time he rises over me, moving toward my face to claim my lips in the hottest, wettest kiss yet. His mouth is insistent, his taste musky as he fucks my mouth with each stroke of his tongue. I love every bit of it, and whimper my pleasure with each stroke. His frantic hands move over my shoulders, and then to my waist, and he hauls me against him as he rises up, and it's clear he wants me to flip onto my stomach. I do as he asks without thinking, utterly breathless and so full of excitement that I can't stand it. Why did I wait so long for this? Vaughn, I whisper. My Vaughn.
Vaughn's big hand seizes a handful of my hair, anchoring me even as he pushes my thighs apart with one knee. Then his big body is looming over mine, and I can feel the press of his form along my back and my bottom. His thighs push against my thighs, and every inch of me feels covered by his hot, hard body. I barely feel the nudge of his cockhead against my core before he surges against me, and I suck in a breath as he's seated to the hilt in my body. It's like all the air's left my lungs, and I remain utterly still, trying to adjust to the sensation of his thick cock invading me. It's been a while since I've had sex, but it's never felt as intense as this, and everything feels new and different with Vaughn. He nuzzles against my neck, and my pussy clenches and ripples around his length in response. I moan, because I'm close to coming. So close, but he's not moving. He's wedged deep inside me, but it's like he's waiting for something. So I buck up against him, trying to create friction. Vaughn hisses, and that's the only warning I get before his teeth sink into my neck. I gasp in shock, and come too. In fact, I'm coming so hard, every bit of me tense with release, that I don't realize that the world is fading around me even as liquid heat floods through my veins. All I know is that I feel damn good.
36. Vaughn. I lick at the puncture wound my teeth have left in Gwen's lovely neck as I wait for the fires to work through her. Already her scent is changing, melding with mine, and I stroke her springy hair back from her face and wait for her to return to me. My mate. I have waited so long for this day. Pleasure coils in my belly, and it is a constant struggle with willpower not to thrust into her unconscious body. Instead, I remain still, because I will not take her while she is unconscious. I want her awake, her cunt gripping my length with her reaction to my invasion, her need. So I wait, kissing and licking at her soft, lovely brown skin. Soon. I press my thoughts against her mind, seeking entry. There is nothing yet, but I feel a gentle giving, a yielding, as if the walls that have kept me out are thinning as I hold her against me. I want this more than I want release in her body. I want her mind touching mine, as closely and as intimately as I touch her flesh. Gwen, I chant inwardly. Gwen, I am here, waiting. Gwen. Gwen. No response. Gwen. I run my nose along the elegant line of her nape. My Gwen. My human, fragile Gwen. Vaughn? Joy, hot and fierce, bursts through my spirit. I am on fire with need for her, but I ignore it, focusing entirely on her thoughts. Her mind is gentle and confused, but growing stronger by the moment. Gwen, I am here. It is your Vaughn. We are one, finally. You have taken my fires.
Vaughn,
she murmurs again, and this time her lips move, even as my name echoes in her mind. Her eyes open slowly, and she blinks her long lashes before looking over at me.
You... Oh, you're still in me.
Of course. Amusement rumbles through me, and I am as giddy as an unblooded fledgling. I want to hold her against my chest and just drink in her scent for days, endless days. We are not done.
Oh, we're not?
Her sweet shyness floods my mind.
I thought I came so hard I passed out.
My own laughter rumbles in my chest, and I feel hope. Hope for the first time for as long as I can remember. I brush her hair back from her skin and lightly run my lips against her shoulder, and feel the tremor of pleasure as it runs through her, feeling her mind with mine. It is like coming home. Gwen is my home now. My world might be gone, everything I knew before the madness, but I do not need it any longer. I have my mate.
How long was I out for?
Gwen's thoughts grow stronger, and she looks up at me, then gasps when I lick her shoulder. I can feel her response, and it adds another layer to my joy. Not long. The fires will take at least another day to finish burning through your system. But I am here with you, in flesh and in spirit.
You feel like fire inside me, she admits.
I feel like fire. It is as if the flame in my soul that was embers has surged back into the inferno of long ago. I feel whole. And I want my mate. My cock throbs and aches with the need to spill, to fill her cunt with my seed. Do you hurt? I ask first, just to be certain. If she needs for me to wait, I will wait, though it might destroy me.
No, I'm all right.
Her thoughts flicker, and I can sense her worry. She knows my seed is hot, and she doesn't want to be scorched from within. That is why a Draconi male must give you his fires first. I lick her shoulder again, and then rock my hips against her, unable to resist the small movement. I can feel the tremor of pleasure as it ripples through her and repeat the gesture, moving with only the slightest gyrations of my hips. Just enough to grind our bodies against one another, to make the spark of desire flare back to life. She moans.
Draconi, that's what you are.
It is.
Oh, Vaughn, I'm so happy we're speaking. You have no idea how long I've waited to talk to you.
I sense nothing but joy in her thoughts, and it fills me with wonder. I slide a hand to her breast, teasing one stiff nipple as I lightly thrust into her again. There is no greater joy than this, I tell her. So long I have felt lost, alone in the storms, alone in the silence.
Alone?
She arches against me, her thoughts throbbing with need as she tries to concentrate on my words.
But Rass spoke to you a few days ago.
Nothing stayed, I tell her, only vaguely aware of a Rast or any other dragon. I do not want to think about anything but Gwen right now. I lightly pinch her nipple, fascinated by the gasps that break from her throat, even as I pump into her again, my cock sliding in and out of her wet heat. Nothing has ever, ever felt as good as this.
Have you ever done this before?
Never. You are the only one that has ever pierced my spirit. She moans again and rocks her hips back against mine, kneading me deeper, harder. I do just as she asks, gripping her tight even as I surge forward. Our gasps are mingled, and I let my mind pulse against hers as I pound into her slick, tight warmth. She feels so good. So right against me. Her cunt tightens around me, rippling with her body's response, and I know she is about to climax again. This time, I want to go with her when she does. I lose myself to the mating rhythm, letting it carry both of us away as I sink into her over and over again. The moment her body tightens in release, it is like my control disappears. With a snarl, I hammer into her, pumping furiously and feeding on the pleasure that ricochets in her mind. I'm not too rough with her. She loves it, and that realization tears through me with wonder and hunger both. With a snarl, I come, spearing deep inside her, even as my seed pours forth from my body in a fiery torrent as every muscle in me strains against hers. We are one in this moment. Two minds entwined, like our limbs are entwined. And it is glorious.
37. Gwen. I don't think I've ever felt so content. I lie next to my dragon, utterly replete. My body's humming and I feel slightly feverish, but I suspect that's because he injected something very similar to poison in my veins. Gave me his fires, he said. Amy had mentioned I should expect to feel under the weather for a day or two afterward, but mostly I just feel really happy. And I feel a bit like an idiot.
Why idiot?
The voice moves into my mind like rich chocolate, and Vaughn brushes his lips against my shoulder. His large body is pressed against mine, every bit of our skin touching. And I don't even mind how overheated it makes me feel, just because it's so very nice. Because I waited so long, that's why. It's still a little surprising to hear his thoughts in my head, but I don't mind it. I'm excited to finally hear what he's been saying all this time. Hi there. Vaughn's hands slide over my front, caressing my breasts and stroking over my belly.
I love your mind. I love your thoughts. So much better than the endless noise you humans make with your mouths.
I giggle at that because the mental image he sends me is one of Mara with flapping lips. That's how humans speak to each other. We don't have mind links.
Pity.
But you can speak human too. English, I mean.
If I must.
He teases my nipple, rolling it between his claws ever so carefully, and sending a pulse of heat straight through my body.
But I no longer need to.
Because we're connected now. I close my eyes and lean against him, sinking into the sensation of being petted by the delicious golden man at my side. I can feel his cock pressing against my thigh, a hard iron bar of need. Have I been asleep for long? I'm pretty sure I napped, but time's kind of murky right now. My thoughts are sliding back and forth, overwhelmed by the new presence lurking there. I love it, but it's a lot to get used to because my head suddenly feels twice as noisy.
I can be quiet,
he tells me.
It is a lot to adjust to for you.
You don't have to, I tell him. I like you being there. I turn my head slightly and he leans forward, brushing his mouth over mine, even as he teases my nipple to a hard, aching point. I spread my thighs and he puts a hand on one leg, parting them further and pushing into my body. I suck in a breath at the sensation of being filled by him again, and my mind blanks out for a moment.
My Gwen, how perfect you are.
He strokes into me, his movements languid as he holds me against him. I can feel his thoughts flitting through my own and pick up that he wants me to come before he does. A man that wants to make sure his lady gets off before he does? I really am the luckiest girl in the world.
Of course I will give to you first. Your pleasure is mine.
He leans in and lightly nips at the side of my neck and my entire body clenches in response.
I can feel it in your thoughts, in the way your cunt tightens around my cock. There is nothing I like more than the taste of your honey on my tongue.
Except maybe your dick and my pussy? I tease. But I'm a little distracted and breathless by all the sensations rocketing through my body. He moves slowly and surely, as if he's got all the time in the world to leisurely fuck me. But I'm already going a little wild, rocking back against him as he pumps into me from behind. It feels good, so good, but I'm not there yet.
Being deep inside you is good only if it is good for both of us.
It's the perfect answer, but I don't sense any deceit or mocking. He's utterly serious, and that makes things all the more delicious.
I would never lie to you.
I'm learning that. It's just new having someone to trust entirely. Even in Fort Shreveport, I have to be careful not to become too unguarded, too open, or else it might get back to the wrong ears. Andrea, who I love dearly, is too trusting and runs her mouth because she assumes everyone is as open and honest as she is. And so I can't tell her some of my secret worries and fears. But Vaughn, he'll see everything and there's something comforting about that.
Let us not think of comfort right now,
he tells me, and his teeth graze the shell of my ear. His hand slides away from my breast, and I whimper a protest.
only to feel his fingers glide over the folds of my pussy. I'm spread wide, my knee resting on one of his legs so he can fuck me. And as he touches me, I gasp with pleasure.
Let us think of deeper, more intense things, like your